Welcome to the Journey to the New Earth podcast, where we invite you into our motivating and fun community to safely share ideas on raising consciousness and creating new systems that support humanity and Earth as a whole. We'll dive deep with fascinating interviews about near-death experiences, the world of psychics, mediums, and how channeling affects our modern lives, all while exploring where we are, what isn't working, and what we can do to facilitate the evolution of humans on a local, global, and galactic scale. Now here's your host, Kimberly.
Welcome in. I'm Kimberly. I'm so glad you're here today. We have such an exciting guest. But before we get started, if you're enjoying this content, make sure you click that subscribe button and hit the notification bell so you don't miss any of our upcoming videos. And if you like to keep abreast of what's happening on the planet, but you don't think that you have the time to do that, you might want to sign up for our Friday morning email newsletter. The link is in the description box down below. It comes out every Friday morning, clearly. And in it, we try to include all the things that we think are important that are going on the planet. It's very short, very sweet, very free. If you want to stay in touch, that's the way to do it. Again, the link is in the description box down below. We think you're going to love it. Today, I'm so excited to connect with someone that I've been watching for a while. I think is absolutely fabulous. Welcome in, channel Benny Ferguson. Hi, Benny. How are you?
Hey, Kimberly. Doing awesome. Awesome. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. I've been watching you for a while. You have such a great energy about you. And of course, you know, the entity that you channel is wonderful as well. What we want to know as people who are not channelers is what was going on in your life before this happened for you? And then how did you start connecting with the group that you channel?
Well, I tell you what, like many of us, you know, I started basically in a basic religious background. I grew up in Christianity. But one of the things that for me was different was, and I want to say even before I started school, I felt like there was something off with the idea of love and the way it was being communicated. As a child, I felt like it was off. I wasn't agreeing with some of the things that were being taught. And that just kind of was always in the back of my mind and kind of on my heart growing up. When I got to, well, other thing is, as a child, and this is early elementary school, I started having what, you know, most people call nightmares, but they were always the same for me. These nightmares, there was always something behind me, and I was scared to death trying to get away from it, but I couldn't get myself to move fast enough. It was always the same dream. Now, I know I would have turned around and asked it what it wanted to communicate to me, what was the information there for me, but, you know, then I didn't know. But those dreams occurred multiple times as I moved through school. In college is when I had my first, I'll say, mini out-of-body experiences, but I didn't know what they were. There were times when I would be asleep on my bed, and it felt like I was awake, but I wasn't, and I could see my roommate. I could see my entire room, and I would start trying to get him because I knew I wasn't awake, and I would be speaking, and I would just be making sounds, like grunting sounds. I could hear them, and I would try to get him to wake me up, but he was never aware, so I got to the point where I tried to force myself by getting angry to force myself to come out of it. And that seemed to work for a little while. Fast forward to 2006. 2006, I was working in financial services. I was fully licensed for insurance, mutual funds. And the office that I was working with is probably about 30 minutes from my home. And my trainer, the senior vice president of the office, he has multiple offices across the United States. And they were doing very, 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 very well financially. And here's the thing. I spent years around these individuals and other individuals that were doing well. And so I knew everything about the business. I knew the sales processes. We went through multiple sales processes that I learned. I knew how to make the calls, all of those things, but I couldn't get myself to do it well enough or with enough consistency to even support myself financially. And so over time, you know, it's like 3 years, and I got very, very frustrated. And I can remember driving home one day, and I was crying. I started banging my hands on the steering wheel, like, what's the matter with me? I don't understand what's wrong with me, that I know what to do, And these people around me that I know more than they do are be able to be more successful than me. And so a couple of weeks after that, I had another fear-based dream. This is in 2006 as an adult. I had another fear-based dream. And right before I woke up, I told myself I was tired of being afraid. And so when I woke up in a full-blown anger rage, which felt like I was consumed with fire. I was so upset. It felt like fire was burning off of me. And I got up, I was standing up. My wife came around the bed and she was asking me what was wrong, trying to get me to calm down. It was probably about 1:30 in the morning. And it happened. I was outside of my body. I was looking at my body. My body was in front of me. My wife was in front of my body. And I was trying to hold on to my body because I was so upset to keep it from going toward her. But my vision was 360 degrees. I could see everything. And then I snapped back. And I turned and hit my hands on the bookshelf because I was so angry. So that's how I know it wasn't a dream, because the next couple of weeks, my hand was bruised. But that's what let me know. That's what really, really what pushed me into there's more. There's more than just what we see with our senses. And this is not the truth. You know, the truth of us exists beyond our body, beyond our mind. And that's kind of what kicked it off for me as far as knowing that there was more, and set me off on the trying to understand what happened to me, which I couldn't find in my religious background. And so I tried to at first, and I ventured out. I went into the other religions and studied them. And because I was looking for what happened to me and not comparing to see what was wrong or right about any of them, I saw the parallels between all of them. I saw the similarities between all of them. Then I went into, you know, quantum physics, psychology. I have a background, I majored in biology, minored in chemistry. And so all of those things came together as far as the truth of who we are as beings who are human, and the potential that we have beyond what we think based on what we see outside of ourselves with our physical senses. In 2012 is when I started channeling. I was already listening to channeling. I had already delved into that information and was really taking that in. But in 2012 is when I realized that I was being communicated to, and it wasn't just my mind, right? It wasn't my mind jumping around, and it was like conversation, communication. So the first thing I did was I sat down in front of my computer and I tried to start typing it out. And when I would try to type it out, I was trying to understand it as it came. And so then I would lose it. So I said, okay, let me just type it all out and then use a spell check and then see what it says so that I don't lose it. And that's when, you know, I realized that I was doing it, realized it was coming through. And then the funny thing is, after a while of doing that, I realized that I had been getting support for a long time. Kimberly, when I was in college, before a paper was due, I would have all of the information, but I never could get started writing until the night before. Interestingly enough, it'd be after 12 o'clock that I was able to start writing, but I would write the paper that night and receive high BA on the paper. And it always happened the same way. And I realized I was being supported then because of the way the information came through.
Okay, I want to interrupt you here just a minute because I have a burning question. We all have this inner dialogue. Yes. I think we all do. You know, we're talking to ourselves all day long. However, there is experiences like yours where there's information not coming from you, not generated from from your essence. How did you tell the difference? Like, how did it all of a sudden go, oh my gosh, there's someone else here, or there's something else here? How did that happen for you?
Well, I was, you know, I had started delving into meditation and that type thing too. You know, all of this in the same time frame as I was expanding out into, okay, how do we
meditation is the gateway to all of this. Yeah.
One of the gateways. And one of the things you learn with meditation, well, you know, the idea behind meditation is quieting the mind. Well, you don't quiet the mind, you focus the mind. And when you focus the mind, it narrows all of the jumping and moving, narrows down to a single point. That's where you focus on your breathing. Or you can focus on an ambient sound in the room or a fan or something like that. And when you do that, the mind narrows down on that focus, and then you can be aware of anything else that's going on. And so when I was doing that, and I think when I first realized, what you realize is that when you're sitting still and you're focused on a point or whatever you're doing, you're focused on a flame or you're breathing, the first thing you become aware of is that your mind jumps from subject to subject. right? As you're thinking about what's happening, or it goes into what's going coming later on, or something that you have to do, it jumps. When I realized that I was being communicated with, it wasn't a jumping. It was a stream of information that was like you were expressing yourself to me. And it was a stream of communication, and it wasn't jumping. And it made sense, right? And when I first started, you know, trying to type it out, I knew that it wasn't me because words were being used that I didn't know the definition to. And so I had to look up the words. I had to look up the words and see what the words were. And I was, oh, wow, this is perfect. This is a conversation type thing. So that's how I began to know that it wasn't me, right?
That, you know, that's so interesting. When you're getting information in a format with language you don't generally use in a way that you don't structure your sentences, that's a clue.
Right.
That's right. A clue.
And like you said, all of us have this potential. And we do. We're always, our guides, family members, they're always, always, always trying to support us. They're always trying to communicate with us. But they don't come down to our vibration. They don't come down to our frequency. Every now and then we squeak up into a high enough frequency where the information comes through. And that's where the aha moments, all of those things happen. It's because we were excited or feeling good in a moment. And we had let go of that challenge that we were struggling with and mulling over in our mind. And we were doing something completely different. Think about it. Anytime an aha moment happens, often when there's a challenge or something that you're a problem that you're working on, you're never thinking about it when the answer comes through. You're doing something completely different. It's like, oh, that's it.
It's
And it's because you're in a space where the information's able to come through from one of your supports. Mm-hmm. So it's always happening because we as beings who are human all have the same potential.
Yeah. For me, it's like when I'm making the bed or, you know, folding laundry, something completely unrelated. And then I'll get this huge aha moment. It's like, why doesn't this happen all the time? Because we're so busy thinking all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you started channeling. Mm-hmm. How did you go from, and I know that it probably was difficult to go from hearing it and being able to type it out, and now you speak it. So tell us a little bit about that process and how it worked for you.
Actually, it was just an intention because, you know, there's other people. I was already watching other people that channel. Of course, Esther channels the collective of Abraham, also Esther Hicks. And she was doing it. And so I said, okay, let me work on it. And so I just started practicing with it. And just, you know, just like going to the gym or anything else, you get, when you start focusing on something that you want to get better at, you just start getting better at it as you play with it. And that's all that I did. You know, mm-hmm. It's a progression of knowing that you can do something inside, deciding that it's something that you want to do, and then getting better at it. And like I said, it's just it really is just like anything else that we do physically. This spiritual that we call energy game is just like anything else. You get better at it. The more intensely you focus on it, the more you're excited about it, the faster you can cause the expansion to happen. The faster you can allow the expansion to happen.
Yeah. And I think that you make such a good point. It's like, I think that people often will go into something that's not really mainstream and feel like I can't do it because I don't know the final result or I'm not as good as someone else. And it's just that first step. And then that first step empowers you for the second step and so on. And it's kind of a bit by bit thing. What I'm curious about is, how are you integrating that information? Because I imagine in the beginning, you weren't running down the street with a piece of paper showing all your neighbors the messages you were getting. So how did you go from understanding you were being communicated with to really integrating that information? And did it solve that quest for you about finding just the right religion or just the right belief system? How did that work for you?
Actually, the understanding, because I had gone through the major religions of the world looking for what happened to me and then being able to see the parallels between all of them, it really expands you beyond the religions of the world. It expands you beyond the spiritual practices because you begin to understand what's at the core of all of it. And that's one of the things we try to stay on as far as supporting people with working at their foundation. And we as beings who are human, there's basically two things at our foundation. If you want to make transformation in any area, it's the vibration, your energy signature, the energies that you're expressing, how you feel generally, and the contents of your mind, right? Those two things are at your foundation. And if you work on those two things, when you start working on those two things and stay in focus there, everything begins to make sense. Everything that you've ever looked at, everything that you studied, you start to see how all of the practices, all the techniques, everything that people are saying, it's affecting those two areas. So once you know that, go straight there. Learn how to affect the contents of your mind. Learn how to continually reach for higher vibration. And this is what we don't understand that we try to support people with. What happens as you do that? When you're consistently reaching for a high vibration, and it doesn't matter how you do it, it can be a favorite song, it can be a favorite color, and you're feeling for the pureness of the energy that is it. When you consistently do that, you open yourself up to the information, the ideas, the thought patterns that are of that frequency. And once those start to make your way in, it's completely different from the person you are now, no matter where you are. Yeah. And once they begin to work their way in, it's like an aha moment in itself. It's like, okay, I've never looked at a flower that way. I can see how my relationships can be that much better. And it's because of the frequency that you've been entertaining. And the thought process, the thought patterns and the ideas that are of that frequency. But you have to be consistent with these things in order for that information to begin to make its way into you. That's what we don't understand.
Now, for those who are watching and are fascinated but don't really understand what a vibration is and what's a higher vibration, can you kind of define it? I define it as whatever makes you really happy. And the happier you can get, and the more giddy you can get, and the more lighthearted you can get, the higher you're going. Is that how, in human Benny, not connected Benny, is that how you would describe it, or do you have a better definition?
No, pretty much that's it. You have to understand that our conditioning, the programming that we have been, the ideas that we have been conditioned to and programmed to since we were little, even before we were born, are holding us in a certain level of vibration. And most of the time it's low, right? Yeah. If you're entertaining the things that are, if you're focusing more on the things that are not great about life than you are the things that are great about life, then you're probably in a lower vibration and your experience reflects that, right? And like you said, feeling good, it feels simple. It sounds simple and it kind of sounds not strong also, but it's very, very powerful because you can, if you just inch up a little bit in frequency, it's like it changes the floor of your life experience. Everything about your life experience is colored by the feeling that you offer. And that's one of the, why we suggest and work with people to forget about what you want to manifest. Forget about what you want to create in your life to start off with and just focus on your vibration because it colors everything. It's the first thing. And you can do it.
And it shifts everything. Everything shifts. So now,
it's almost like you're creating a new earth for yourself, and really a new verse for yourself. Because each of us is expressing and creating a individual universe inside of the verse that is source.
Yes. So now you're channeling your. How do you start explaining this to your family, to your friends? How do you get out? I mean, how was that for you? Was it a little bit nerve-wracking, or were you just like, hey, this is what I'm doing and off I go?
Or you don't have the conversation. I tried to express in the beginning about my out-of-body experience to my parents, but they, when you express it to people who are in a system of thought, anybody and anything, they filter it through their current system of thought. And so if it's not a part of it and it's not, it doesn't make sense. And it's like they try to fit a square into a circle, if that makes sense. And so I have kind of allowed people to come to me for the most part. Now, My kids, they don't have a choice, really. But I don't force it on them, but they know what's happening. I have family members that know what I do, and we have the conversations, and they're where they are. But for the most part, as far as family, I've just allowed them to come to me versus me trying to get people to see it. And that's what most people do. And I made that mistake to a degree. This is so exciting and it's powerful, and I know what it's done for me. So you want people to know, but anytime you try to push things on people, no matter how great it is, the barrier comes up. You have to let people come to you. That's when they're open to hearing what you have to say. Even if you're excited about your religion, it's the same thing. If you push it, the barriers come up. Nobody wants to be told. Nobody wants to be pushed. But if they see you and they're around you and they're like, wow, this is kind of making sense for me. And wow, how did you do that? And they're asking questions and you share, then they came to you and they're open. And that makes a big difference.
Yeah. And that's kind of one of my philosophies too, is if they're not asking questions, they're not interested.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So how, you know, all of a sudden you're getting this, you know, wisdom. I call it off-planet wisdom. Maybe it's, you know, everybody has their own different description of it. How is it changing you internally? Because I had imagined that all of a sudden you're getting a completely different story than what we're told here on the planet. Mm-hmm. And what the truth about who we are is so much more magnificent mm-hmm. than anything that we've been told. So what did it do for you personally? And then I'm curious to get your opinion on why we're told such a different story on the planet. Why is the story that we're being told and so many people are living so different than the reality of who we are?
Let's see. It's changed to me. Well, I'll tell you how it's changing me. It's changing me because anytime I interact, I am tuning to their frequency. Their frequency affects me more than the information that they share. Their frequency is actually what allows the information in and for it to be able to integrate within my system, me being in their frequency. And, you know, even when we host workshops and we do those things, it's more about the frequency that people are tuning to. When we do our private sessions, you know, people email me a week later saying that they're still feeling high. And it's not because of the words that were spoken. It's because of the frequency that they were in for an hour and a half, 2 hours that they've never experienced before. And it's happening subtly while we're having a conversation. What was the second question again?
Why do you think the story that we're told is so different than what I believe and maybe you believe too is the truth of our reality?
The vibration that the information's in. It's because of the vibration that the information's in. The majority of, not the planet, but the majority of humanity on the planet is in a lower vibration. And so all of the information that's being shared is being shared from that level of vibration. And when you come into channels or the idea of source, think about it, all of that information is in a higher vibration. And so it's going to be completely different. As one plays and practices with getting themselves into a higher frequency, and if they do it with enough consistency for the information to come in, every level of frequency that you inch up, if we use high, low example, there's a new level of truth. There's different levels of truth as you move into higher frequency. And so, you know, the closer you get to source or the closer the information is to source that you're receiving, it's going to be vastly different from what you once believed just as a human being walking around, because all of that information is born of lower vibration.
I would imagine you feel pretty darn good all the time because of who you're connecting with.
here's the thing. Even though I'm getting that information, I still have, it doesn't just disappear my programming. I'm having to work and release my programming just like everybody else. Now, what happens is because I entertain those energies, the lower vibrational ideas bubble up a lot faster. And sometimes that can be frustrating and painful, but I have process that I can use to address them at my foundation. That's what, you know, having tools is the power piece. But it doesn't just erase the stuff that's there. I still have to work through mine just like anyone else.
Yeah. So you channel Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get to know who it was? Abraham, Esther Hicks has been channeling Abraham for a long time. And I think that Esther Hicks, because it's so accessible, she's kind of how people start, to understand that we are very different than what we've been told. So how did you kind of integrate? It's like, oh my gosh, I'm talking to this entity that's so much a part of the spiritual community. How was that for you to integrate that?
Well, I was listening to tons and tons of Esther's material in the beginning, and I don't know if that's what connected me to them or if I already was, because they told me that this is not the first time that I've done this, or I was
Oh.
doing this before this lifetime. I was doing this, and this is kind of something that I had said I was going to do this time too, to be of support. It took me a long time to get to it, but I was listening to them a lot. Now, I know for a fact that initially it wasn't the collective of Abraham, but I never asked who it was. I never asked that who question. I just know it was different. And even with the expressing of Abraham, Abraham is a collective. Human beings, they ask this question of us. And it's like, no, Abraham is not an individual like we look at and we see individuals. Abraham is a collective. And I can tell the subtle differences when I'm channeling. Because the energies of the individuals inside of the collective can be different.
Yeah.
How I sound when I'm speaking can be different because they're different. And an example that I use is like, if you have a family in your neighborhood and you go to their house and they're having this huge party and you can see everybody enjoying themselves on the in the house, and you knock on the door and the dad comes to the door and you have an amazing conversation with the dad, and then you leave. And then you come back in the same day, you knock on the door, and the daughter opens the door, and you have an amazing conversation with her, and you leave, and you come back and you get the son. That's what it's like communicating with Abraham. It's always, it can be somebody different, but it's they're within the collective. And so the ideas and the thoughts that they share is always along the same lines, but it's different entities in the collective.
Yeah. And how I understand this is that more advanced civilizations don't necessarily have a leader. What happens is that the energy body that's the most qualified to address that problem or that question will move forward, express what they know, and then move back again. And then the next question will be answered by someone else who is the most qualified or has the information needed. So it's more of a unity consciousness with all these different consciousnesses that work together as a collective. Does
Yes.
that ring true for you?
That feels true for me. Like I said, I've never asked that question, but that feels right. And I feel like I've heard that communicated before.
Yeah,
So.
I'm wondering, and let's bring Abraham in a few minutes, but I have one more question for you because we come into this incarnation with a purpose. We do this for a purpose, and we kind of sit down and we plan what we're going to do and we plan what our objectives and goals are. So you came in with the goal of I'm going to bring this information to the planet, be one of the people that brings the new information to the planet because you had done it before. When you actually started channeling, was there something inside of you that felt like, oh, this is really familiar? I know how to do this. This feels like I've done this before.
Not really. It didn't feel like
Oh.
I had done it before. Now, what I was doing and something that I identified that I was doing was leading. And I didn't even know
Oh.
what that meant. Quick story. I was 14 years old, I think it was. Short, overweight, and it was in a community basketball league. My sister was on my team, and we hadn't won any games, and I'm hugely competitive, so that was bothering me. And our coach didn't show up for practice. We only practiced once a week, and he wasn't able to make it. And so all the kids were there, we were there, and I got everybody together. I knew who we were playing, and they had a lot of athletes on their team. This was a community league, so we weren't going to win. I knew that, but I got all of our team together, and I told them, I just inspired them to play really, really hard, right? And they did. And after the game, I felt great for their effort. And that's the first time, you know, just looking back, and I've done this before, just looking back, that's the first time that I did that type of thing as far as leading. And I've been doing that all of my life. Now, the channeling came in. No, I didn't have a sense that I've done that before, but what I'm doing in essence, or trying to do in essence, as one who channels, I've been doing quietly for a long time, right? But now I really have started running through the hesitation, the fears. That's the type of thing that I've had to release from inside, that conditioning, to allow me to really get out and to be more visible in the world.
Yeah. Well, let's bring Abraham in, if that's okay with you. Are you a conscious channel? How's the process for you?
I guess you say conscious channel. I thought about looking into all those different terms one time and see exactly what they meant. I'm like, but they're always here.
Okay.
Always here. And they told me to really stop making the separation between me and them. Stop making the separation inside of myself, but they're always here. I don't have to do anything really special to start.
Okay. And to call you back, do you remember what we will talk about? Will you remember it?
Somewhat.
Okay. Somewhat. And then
I try to stay out of their way. If I try to think about it, I'll mess with the connection, even though, you know, as long as I've been doing it, I still mess with the connection. So I don't try to get in the way by understanding it, but I do hear and I remember some of it.
Yeah. And do they tell you to, Benny's interrupting right now? Well, if we can talk to Abraham, that would be great. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, we're here.
Okay.
I'm
excited too, because I have been listening to Abraham for so long. To be able to talk with you guys directly is really a thrill. The first question I want to ask you is, from your perspective, what exactly is going on in this ascension of humanity here on planet Earth, and why is it happening at this time?
Well, basically, just the energies are moving. The energies are changing on your planet. And that's why there's such, it appears to be, the chaos, because your planet has shifted, is moving into a higher vibration. And that is causing the vibration and the energies of humanity that is inside of the energies of your planet. It's kind of like they're hitting heads. And that's what's causing all of the conflict, what appears to be conflict, and all of the things that's going on your planet, not just globally, but in your country and between in your families. If you notice, all of these things are happening right there with most of you, close proximity. And it's because of the energy shifts and the energy differences. They're being accented because of the shift of the planet. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you. My next question is, what's causing the shift? I've heard a couple of explanations. The first one is that Gaia has just decided to ascend to a higher vibration. The second one is that because the planet is moving more in a direct line to the central sun, that we're literally getting more energy onto the planet. Mm-hmm. Why is this shift happening? Is it a little bit of both, or is it one or the other, or something different?
Well, understand that everything has a energy presence before it has a physical presence. So your first idea is more pure than the second one, because the second idea has more to do with the physical presence of your planet and not the energy presence. The energy presence means that your planet has an energy, not physicality, but an energy makeup before the physical that you are realizing. And so in that energy and in the life cycle of your planet is living, right? Just as each of you are living, your planet is made up also of the same particles that each of you, your bodies, are made up of, as you call them, the protons, the neutrons, the electrons that make up the physical matter that is your planet, that makes up the physical matter that is your body. It's all the same, right? So your planet is living, and it, in this moment, in your time, is ascending. The same as each of you listening to this information, accepting this information, is in the process of ascending. Your planet's doing the same thing. And so, and its life cycle has nothing to do with humanity, right? And so it's ascending and it's making a shift in its energy presence. And humanity is being affected by that because humanity exists on the planet in the energies of the planet. And that's all that's happening. It's in its life's journey, and it is making a shift. It is ascending.
So why did Gaia decide to make this shift? And my understanding, or at least what we're hearing on the planet, is that we're going from 3D to 5D. So why did Gaia make this decision, or was this just in the plan all along?
Mm-hmm. Just natural evolution. Natural evolution. Just as each of you are participating in your own soul's natural evolution. Those of you who are, again, open to receiving this information, in your previous lifetime, you probably weren't. As a matter of fact, 10 years ago, you probably weren't, right? Open to this information, evolution. Each of you are on your own journey of evolution, and your planet is no different.
And for that, I want to say thank you to all of you, Abraham, because you have made it so accessible and understandable, because the stories that we're raised with is so different than what our reality is. And what I can say personally, when I first heard Abraham, I was like, that's the truth. That feels so true to me. So I want to say a big thank you to you guys for doing such good work. I have, you know, I am curious about the purpose of Earth. And I'll explain. Earth had a very low vibration, and it was a great learning ground. I kind of look at it as boot camp for humans, for Earth humans. You come here, it's gritty, it's a low vibration, there's a lot of duality, a lot of contention, and it really, really causes a lot of learning because of that low vibration, that duality, that conflict that happens here on the planet. If we no longer have that third dimensional gritty environment, where are we going to learn? Where are we going to go to learn those tough lessons? Because I can definitely say it has not always been fun, but by golly, I have learned so much. So is it that we no longer need the third dimensional, or is it going to happen on another planet or in another reality system?
Well, as the planet makes its shift, it will be and moves into a higher plane of existence, a higher frequency. That frequency holds its own types of experiences to be created. And understand that your choice of positioning as for the creation of experience is not limited to the planet that you're on right now, right? So there's no straight line progression of your own planet Earth to do this, that, and the other to experience. And then as it shifts, you're going to be on that planet to continue to grow. It's not a straight line, right? You may be on this planet, and then after your life's review, you may choose to go to another planet or come to this planet on a different plane as a different type of species for the creation of experience, right? Your spiritual journey is not a straight line. You may have one practice you're working with over here, and then you may go over here, as Benny was describing. He was looking for understanding in the religions, and then he was over here in quantum physics and biology. But they all were a part of his expansion. There's no straight line, right? And that's as you continue to play with this and you continue to really expand yourself and look for evidence of the mind of source that is your truth, you begin to see again that there's no straight lines, that there's infinite potential and possibility, and that you are that. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you. So I'm torn between two questions. I'll ask them both. I don't know which one to ask, you know, what the perfect order is. But why do we incarnate to begin with? I mean, this is not an easy gig, particularly on planet Earth, you know, in third dimensional. Why do we do it if life with source or in a different dimension is so lovely? Why would we make the decision to come here?
Well, the purpose of creating experience. That is the end. That is the purpose, period. In source, there is no good, bad. There's no right, wrong as you perceive it on your planet. It's experience. In one life, you may be the poorest of the poor. In the next life, you may be the wealthiest of the wealthy. In one life, you may be the husband in your relationship. In the next life, you may be the child. It's for the creation of experience. Now, what many of you will do is you will say, okay, well, does that mean someone can just go and do what they want and be mean and be a murderer and all of these things, and that's okay? They are being who they are based on the information that they have and the vibration that they're in, or the creation of experience. It's all experience. There's all only alignment. And what an individual is expressing is reflected back to them. And everything is working in perfect harmony. And believe it or not, everything is working in love. And we understand that that is difficult for you to understand as you have been perceiving life through your physical senses. But when you go inward and you begin to understand the nature of source, here's an example. Nobody looks out in nature and says, oh, what a terrible lion for eating a gazelle. That idea doesn't even make sense, right? It just is. It's something that is a part of nature. And they are in agreement and in alignment in the circumstance. Your indigenous species, they understand that. They still understand that. Each species understood it. But they understand that the animals and the trees and all of these things are working together and creating together. It's all the purpose of experience. And as you elevate in your frequency and you elevate in your understanding, you begin to become aware of the fact and realize that I can choose my creation. I can choose the energies that I entertain. I can choose the ideas that I hold within me that are reflected as experience. And in those moments, you can begin to choose, instead of your learning, your growth and expansion being from tragedy and pain, but growing from peak to peak, peak to peak, can be your journey of growth and expansion. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you. I love that peak to peak visual. Mm-hmm. Let's back up for a little bit on that and talk a little bit about what is a reality here on earth, or what is a perceived reality, which is not the truth. So if you say to a lot of humans, you create your own experience, you create your own experience, a lot of pushback is going to happen in a lot of different areas saying, no, it happened to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that. That person did that to me. That happened to me. Nothing works out for me. Can you talk to that issue? It's like, why are a lot of humans so stuck in that position that life is happening to me instead of life is what I'm creating based on the vibrational aspect of where I'm at the moment?
Mm-hmm. Well, humanity is conditioned to look outside of themselves. They're conditioned to look outside of themselves. And so you look outside of yourself for reason. You look outside of yourself for responsibility. And in turn, you look outside of yourself for cause and blame to experience, right? Good, bad, or indifferent. Those that you grew up around were doing it. And so that is the conditioning, even though it's just implied. But you can quickly understand the truth by looking inward and noticing how an experience makes you feel. Noticing how your thought patterns are very similar or have been of the nature of the experience. Noticing how your dominant ideas about things are very similar or can align you with the experience. And then once you're able to see, wow, I was thinking that way, and I have been feeling that way, and that experience made me feel that way, made me feel helpless, made me feel like a victim. I feel the same way, even though the faces have changed, even though I moved to a different city. The experience has made me feel the exact same way that I felt before, the same way I was made to feel as a child. I still continue to have experience that makes me feel that way as an adult. So the question then becomes, which comes first? The experience outside of you, or that which you are experiencing inside? And we'll give you a hint. Any experience that materializes outside of you is immediately history. Immediately. The minute this conversation is over, it's history. So was that which immediately appears in your present moment that becomes history the moment it flashes. The moment it flashes, it becomes history. Can it be the cause? Can an experience be the cause of the experience? No, it cannot. But you can prove it to yourself by looking inward and being critically aware of how you think, what you believe that causes those thought processes, and how you feel in conjunction to all of these faculties that are occurring inside of you, and begin to notice which one comes first.
Oh, that was so well put. I kind of got goosebumps. So for those who are, well, let me back up. I have heard you say repeatedly, and I love it, that one in alignment is more powerful than millions who are not. So beautifully put, and so powerful and so true. Mm-hmm. Can you give a little like alignment 101 lesson, maybe three little steps that a person, an earth human could implement to start feeling or start feeling their way into alignment here on earth?
Well, first of all, understand the nature of your tuning fork, right? The nature of your tuning fork. You have two tuning forks. You hit one and it begins to vibrate. The other one is still. But as those vibrations reach the second tuning fork, it begins to vibrate at what? At the same vibrational frequency as the initial, right? Now, higher frequency always trumps lower frequency. Higher frequency, the more excited, the more electric. Each one of you knows how that feels. You know how it can be infectious. Well, anger can be infectious too, but not so much. But that high feeling is infectious. It can cause you to smile. It can cause you to start to laugh and you don't even know why they're smiling or why they're laughing. It's infectious. But we're talking about the vibration that you're in. And when you're in a high vibration, you're expressing a high frequency for no reason at all, not because you want anything, but just because you are and just because you can, right? You give others the opportunity to tune up to you, right? They feel good and they don't know why. They feel loved and they have no reason for it. Nobody said, I love you. Nobody did anything special, but they feel it. If you've ever been in the presence, or if you've watched a video where there's an individual there who has been about this play and practice, and they're there to listen to this individual, and they're just sitting still. And the individual that's the teacher is just sitting still. What they're doing is they're tuning to the individual, the vibration, the energy. And as each one of you lifts in vibration, and you offer even just a fraction of a frequency higher than, say, your family members at the family gathering, and you're strong enough not to be moved off center, no matter what happens in that environment, then your frequency will become dominant.
Oh, I love that.
It requires consistency in order to build the strength, just like when you go to the gym and you work on your strength and it grows over time. As you play in higher vibration over time, you increase your strength to where you can be in the family gathering. You can walk down the street. You can go in the store and you absolutely know that you are the center and you hold a high vibration and you know that you are affecting people powerfully and beautifully. And you're strong enough not to be moved by dirty looks, angry words, any type of low vibrational happening that happens around you or makes its way into your experience. You're strong enough not to be moved. And in those moments, you're being the brightest light in that present moment. And you're affecting those around you, whether you say anything or not.
Oh, that was so beautifully put. Thank you for that. There's a lot of off-planet wisdom coming onto Earth right now. And it's so generous in my mind. I look around at collectives like you and other collectives that are speaking through humans on Earth. And I'm so struck with the graciousness, the generosity, the willingness to help, the willingness to always come in to answer every question. And I guess my question for you guys is, why? Why are you taking your time to do this? It just feels like we're being showered with so much love and consideration and energy. What's behind it for you? Why are you doing this?
All of those things you say, they're beautiful, and we thank you for that. But we want to make sure that you do not raise us, or any of you, do not raise us any higher than yourselves, for we are the same. us and you are the same. We just may be a little further along in our journey. We may be a little further down the road, but we are the same. And we're sharing this information with you to be of support because we choose to, because we love you. And simultaneously, this is also in source, the creation of experience. And so we are benefiting from these interactions as you are making your way through this reality on your plane of existence. You are supporting us in the creation of experience. And that is how our support to you, we are benefiting through this interaction just as much as you believe yourself to be benefiting from this interaction. Again, we are the same. We may be a little further down the road, but we are the same in energy and in source on our own journey, just as you are on your journey. And this is where, because of the conditioning, because of the programming, because of your idea of hierarchies and things on your planet, many place non-physical entities or non-physical collectives who are communicating, they place them in a hierarchy type sense. But in source, there's no hierarchies. We are the same. We're sharing in love. And you have to understand that. You are us. We are you. You are powerful. You are all-knowing. You are omnipresent. You have infinite potential. The minute you realize that, the minute you accept that truth for yourself, and the minute you begin to claim it through your intention, just as we do, you have to understand that.
I do. That was beautiful. Thank you. I appreciate your time, Abraham. And I hope that we get to do this again. Can we talk with Benny now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we are excited for you and this platform that you are creating. And we're thankful for the opportunity to be of support anytime we can. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Hey, there he is. That was so good, Benny. It was so good. I just enjoyed it. You must be feeling very bubbly right now, because I certainly am.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes the energy rises, and then when I finish with a session or doing workshops and things, I can feel that highness. But more so, I'm excited for those that are listening, right? Yeah. I want to kind of pull them along, because I have a carrot in front of me, Kimberly. It's always there for a long time. And that carrot is, you know, years ago in meditation, when I was in the bed and I was doing a meditation where you kind of go down the stairs. And when you're going down the stairs, it's like you're going deeper in the meditation. When I was doing that, I felt everything whisk off of me. All of my cares, all of my doubts, all of my fears, everything whisk off of me. And I felt what that felt like. But because it scared me, it instantly went away. And I was like, I snapped back in. It happened a second time. I was giving my wife a massage and I was kind of using my intuition to guide me on where to go. And it happened again. And that time it lingered for like 20 minutes. And everything whisked off of me again. And I felt what that felt like. And now as I work with people, and we have this process that we use, and you ask yourself the question, what is the truth of me in source? And you allow your inner being to take you there and see what that feels like. And every time, any resistance that you're working on, it's never there, right? The inner resistance, inner conflict is never there. And there's an openness, and there's a freedom, and there's a peace, and there's a strength, and there's a power. And that's what that felt like. I felt like I could have called anyone. I could have called and done anything in those moments. It was just a freedom. There was no resistance. And that's what I want for people. That's a space that we can walk around in and live our life from. But these type interactions helps inch people a little further, a little further. And that's what's exciting for me. And that's what, you know, gives that energy for me.
Yeah. So beautifully put. Tell us about the work that you're doing now.
Okay. So what we're doing now is we offer private sessions where we work with individuals who are oftentimes asking questions about their purpose, or they're having some type of challenge that they've realized that is repeating in their life, a myriad of things. And most often people are inspired to connect with us. And so they do that. We host workshops monthly where members of our community, they come together. We get together most times on a Saturday afternoon for 2 hours. And it's in a group setting. And what's interesting about that is that people are able to ask their questions based on where they are right now in their life's journey. And it's very, very powerful. And one of the things that I've realized is that You know, we can take in information, but if you're not getting the questions answered based on your life right now, you can kind of start feeling stuck, is what a lot of people say. And it's because you're not getting your personal questions. So we have this avenue for people to get their questions answered. And a lot of times, almost every time, people say they had questions get answered that they didn't even know they needed to ask. And it's because someone in the group, in the energy, asked a question that was inside of them that hadn't become conscious yet. So it's very, very powerful on multiple levels. And we also have a private community where we are in very close contact with the people who are in the play and practice of this thing. We have a process that we give them to directly affect their any resistance or conflict that they come in contact with, any life lessons that they are carrying from previous lifetimes that are playing out in their life, trauma from childhood. They're working on these things, and those are the type of conversations that we have in the private community. Lots and lots of stuff in there, and we host tours for that, for people to see what's going on kind of behind the scenes. I'm doing another one this month. But yeah, we're just trying to be of support and well, first be visible, more visible. Thank you for that. And be a support for those who are ready for us.
Yeah, I love the term play and practice, because the more play that we can have in this, the more fun it gets to be. Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
Where can we find out more about you on the web?
Okay, so there's a ton of material on our YouTube channel, which is Consciousness Ascending / Benny R. Ferguson Jr. Jr. If you put that in, or you may, even if you just put in Consciousness Ascending, you'll probably see my picture. I have a free training that you can download for free. It's at www.iamthediscourse.com. We have a page for our private sessions, which is www.abrahamoneonone.com. And I have a full presentation at www.accelerated/evolution.com. And in that presentation, we go over the three attention shifts that you have to make sure that you're working at your core and affecting yourself as your foundation for transformation. And also, the second half of that presentation talks about the Ascension Accelerator, which is our private community, if anyone wants to get that information.
Wonderful. And I'll have all of that listed in the description box down below, so you don't have to write it all down. It'll be down there. Benny, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing this work. It is so important. It is so worthwhile. And I appreciate all the time and effort that you put into working with humanity.
Yeah, thank you. This is, you know, it looks like there's so many out there, but it's really not. And it looks like a lot of people are taking in the material, but when you look at the numbers of humanity, it's still not a lot. But
right. One,
if we're doing the energy work, we're affecting everything. Right. Even if it just starts in your home and in your community, the energy work, the vibration work affects everything. So that it's exciting to see, you know, all the people that are interested in channeling, that are open to this information. And we're just here to be of support, and we're excited to do that.
And you're doing a wonderful job. I hope you'll come back and see us sometime.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Benny, so much.
Thank you for joining us on the Journey to the New Earth podcast. We hope we've created a safe space for our listeners to find out more. Whether you're curious or have a deeper reason for joining our community, please share our podcast on your socials, and with a simple click to subscribe, we'll invite you back to our next episode. Remember, we're all in this journey to the New Earth, so let's enjoy the ride.